This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is freaking crazy. There was a plane flying from Minneapolis to Toronto. And it looks like everybody's okay, thank God. But the plane is upside down. It landed, and I'm assuming it skid and flipped upside down as it was landing.
Wow.
That, because it didn't land upside down.
No.
I think it would have just been destroyed if that happened. And so there are these images of a Delta plane upside down and people leaving the plane. I'm looking at this view. I'm like, I never want to fly again.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine being upside down in a plane, your seatbelt's on, and then, getting out of your seat and then walking on the roof. That's just bizarre to me to think about. But luckily, as Evan just said, looks like everybody is okay. I think there were eight people or so that, that were injured.
Right. It seems like everybody's okay. The flight, all passengers and crew are accounted for. And right now, eight people are injured. Hopefully, it's minor injuries, but... Yeah, viewing this and seeing an upside-down Delta plane with ice and snow surrounding it, that's probably what led to it, I'm assuming. That is a scary... That is why... Oh, God, I'm scared. I'm scared of flying. I'm going to be like your wife. I'm never going to want to fly.
She's terrified.
I don't blame her.
Can't cross your legs. Can't talk to her until after you get to 10,000 feet.
So she's calm at 10,000 feet?
Yeah.
It's the takeoff and the landing that scares her.
Yes, exactly right.
That is scary.
And turbulence.
This is no good. No. I'm going to tell you right now, if I landed on this flight, what it looked like the day before a colonoscopy in my pants.
By the way, you're talking a lot. Can you stand up for me, please?
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, he's wearing his L. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Sean is wearing his L again. I just want to report we're not on TV today. Today is President's Day, so it's a federal holiday, so we're not on TV for federal holidays. I don't know why, but we aren't. And so Sean is wearing his L. I just want to make sure the audience is well aware.
What is SNY putting on right now?
I'm going to guess Johan Santana's no-hitter.
No, it's actually Cornell versus Yale.
Oh, hockey.
College hockey.
All right. You know what? That's fine with a little college hockey on a President's Day Monday.
Yeah, is that live? We'll just bet the shots here.
I have no idea if it's live. I'll tell you what did happen in hockey to give everybody an update, because the Four Nations face-off did very well this weekend. People were pumped up about it. I remember we talked about it briefly. Oh, you did watch it?
I watched the third period of the U.S. game.
So you got into it?
I did.
4.4 mil.
Yeah, 4.4 million people are the amount of people that watched it, which, by the way, is higher than any Stanley Cup final game from this past year, with the exception of Game 7.
Get out of here.
So games 1 through 6 had fewer viewers, or less viewers, than what U.S.-Canada had in this Four Nations face-off. We talked about it briefly on Friday, and Sean, as the big hockey fan, said he wasn't pumped up for it.
Well, I think a lot of it got pumped up because of the Canadian fans booing the national anthem.
Yeah.
The American national anthem.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. So that got a huge rating. People were also like really into it. And I made this comment on the Rico. I was talking about it compared to the WBC, how it's kind of the same. It's a made-up event.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Olympics. Now, the WBC's been around for a while now. It started in 2006, so it's got a history now. But this Four Nations face-off is brand new. Why did it seem more people were excited about that, and yet they crap on the WBC? And so I thought that, and I'm giving it thought as the day goes by, because I thought the USA-Canada thing, I didn't watch it live, but I went back, I saw the highlights, and I admit, hey, that looked badass. Okay, yeah. I think I will watch the final. So I'm not ripping it. I also like the WBC. I was just confused by the difference. And I think Tiki is spot on. I think the political issues around the United States and Canada and the tariffs and the 51st state nonsense, all that stuff, I think it added to it. I think if this was 5 years ago, I don't want to say nobody would care. That's not true. I think less people would care. I think more people are into the actual, like, real rivalry that's happening right now, including the fact that the Canadian citizens decide to boo our national anthem before that game. And I think that's what's added even more appeal to it. While in the WBC, there's no rivalry between the U.S. and the Dominican or the U.S. and Japan. They're just other countries that happen to be really good at baseball.
Right.
Like, there's no political tension that's causing us to be like, all right, Japan! You know what I mean? Like, so that to me, I agree with you. That's my kind of thinking after 2 days of giving this thought.
And the Tkachuk brothers leaned into this. If you weren't watching the game and you were just on social media, the first 9 seconds of the game have three fistfights. That's not going to happen in a baseball World Baseball Classic
game. That's right.
So if you weren't watching live and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, they're U.S. and Canada players are brawling, they had you on ABC for the next 2.5 hours.
Right, right. Even though they were very orchestrated fake brawls.
Of course they were.
I would assume people were into it because it was fun hockey. It was good hockey.
Oh, and by the way, players in what's supposed to be like an all-star type format playing hard. You know?
Oh, no, no. People
lack
going
that
for
in pro sports.
Well, I think there's country pride on the line. I think
you very rarely get that in hockey, though.
What do you mean?
Meaning a regular season game, guys just dogging it.
I completely agree.
I don't think you get it in hockey.
Hockey is not the sport
to say,
oh, this regular season is boring. Like, guys play real hard in the regular season. So I agree with you. I don't think that that game is like 10 times the intensity of a regular season game. It was certainly more intensity. It was also the best in the world. I mean, think about how good Team USA and Team Canada are when you think about the best of the best in the NHL. So you're talking about the best players playing hard. Forget the orchestrated fights. Like, you got the crowd rivalry that's going on, and you got the best playing each other. And now they are going to have a rematch because earlier today, Canada beat Finland in the Four Nations face-off earlier today. So it is all set that Thursday night, we're going to get a U.S.-Canada rematch for, what are they calling it, the championship, the gold medal? Like, what's on the line here? We getting a cup?
The Four Nations face-off trophy, I guess. I don't know. Is there a trophy? There's got to be something they're getting out of this. It's some money.
They'll get some gift certificates or something. It had Rocky IV vibes to it, I think. It was like watching a movie. Plus, you got to think about the competition on Saturday night. The other sports competition was trying to tell you that Mac McClung is Vince Carter. the great Vince Carter sitting there. Right. So, I mean, come on. One is actual sport. The other one is a league trying to tell you something.
So you're trying to tell me that Thursday night, the Knicks are back, the Nets are back. There's real NBA basketball, not the Fugazi stuff we saw this weekend. You're telling me that USA-Canada will not net as high of a rating as it did Saturday?
It will not net as high of a rating. Probably not, but you also have the buzz that it got from Saturday. This is the rematch. This is for all the marbles. So my thinking is it actually will have a higher rating.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say.
Because of Saturday, because of the Rumble to Mania. Well, people are into it now.
I'll give you a great example. Me. I didn't watch it Saturday.
Me neither.
I was distracted with other things, but I will tell you this. Thursday night, despite my interest in Brooklyn against Cleveland at Barclays Center, I'm definitely going to have an eye on it. So you've already added me. Sean, I assume it's added you.
I will watch Thursday night, yes.
Tiki said he watched the third period. Are you going to watch the whole game now Thursday?
I probably will.
So there you go. You just added three more people.
It brings in the casuals. And this is always the issue with hockey, is they have a hard time bringing in the casuals.
There's nothing else going on. Like, what else are you watching?
Nets-Cavs, man.
Regular season basketball. Right. Yeah, I think that it definitely did its job, man. And I'm surprised by you, Sean.
I think it was helped. It got an assist.
By what?
Politics.
Yeah, but so is Thursday.
Sure. Right.
I mean, Thursday is going to be the same thing. I think the politics are going to be involved.
Except you're going to have a game on U.S. soil now where we're not going to be booing the Canadian anthem.
Well, I don't even think that matters anymore.
First of all, I think you're wrong about that.
Really?
Now, I would say this to my fellow Americans here on President's Day. I think we need to be better than our friends to the north. I am advising my fellow Americans to not boo the Canadian national anthem. We don't need to. I don't think it serves us any purpose. Mm. And quite frankly, I just think we're better than that.
Right, and it's tacky.
It's tacky as all hell. So I hope I'm wrong when I say I think Americans in Boston are going to boo the Canadian national anthem. But we don't need to. Here's what we can do on Thursday night. Beat them at the thing they're most prideful in, which is hockey. That is their...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And so if we beat them twice in a row and take home the Four Nations Cup Trophy Championship ring... then we've already put enough damage on them, far worse than any tariff. Am I right?
I am so disappointed in Evan right now.
Why?
One of the best wrestling angles was when the Hart Foundation, the one in 97, they would get booed in America and cheered in Canada. Same thing with Stone Cold. They would get booed even though they were good guys. This is it playing out in real life. And you don't want us to boo?
I think we're better than that.
It's all part of the show.
Nah, it's not about the show. It's about who we are as Americans. We don't need to do that.
Well, the people in Boston are going
to
boo.
I'm telling you, I'm advising them not to. I agree that they're going to boo. I don't like it. I think we as Americans don't need to do that.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we do the chants you like? You're a good fan of chants, right? Here's it.
Blame Canada.
No. Blame Canada. What? Ketchup chips suck. Ketchup chips suck. Poutine sucks. Poutine sucks. Those kind of chants.
Aren't they very prideful with their donuts, like their big donut people?
Timbits suck.
No. It's not Timbits. It's Tim Martin?
You idiot. It's Tim Hortons. Their Timbits are their version of the Dunkin' Munchkins.
Yeah, so here's what we do. I don't think we need to go negative. I think our chant is simply Dunkin' Donuts.
And it's big in Boston.
Dunkin' Donuts. You like that one?
Yeah, that was great.
And I'm not just saying that because they're a sponsor. That's how we should attack it. I just don't think we need to boo them. I'm being serious. Like, we're better than that. Why do we have to lower ourselves to that? And forget the politics of it and what side you're on. It's irrelevant. We're Americans. We don't need to boo the Canadians.
At this point, you're in the final. Just win.
That's it.
That's what it comes down to.
And we beat them at their favorite sport. Right. How damaging that is to them?
Of course.
It hurts their feelings.
On their own soil, we beat them. And now you beat them in our own home. Where is it? It'll be at the Garden.
It's in Boston.
At the TD Garden?
Yeah. The birthplace, in a lot of ways, of our great country. One of the original 13 colonies. I think we can be better than this. That's all I'm saying. Now, I hope I'm wrong on Thursday, and I'll say this again on Thursday for anyone making the trip. Paul Rosenberg, who works here, asked me if I could get him free tickets for that game. To the U.S. versus Canada on Thursday. I said, no. What's it called?
The Four Nations?
The Four Nations Face-Off.
Four Nations Face-Off.
Yeah, it's flawed, by the way. Can I tell you my issue with this?
Why? No Russia?
Yes, and I get why Russia's not involved, and I'm not arguing that, but it's more than that. When we have the World Baseball Classic, we have a lot of countries involved. In fact, you have to qualify for it. Mm-hmm. Okay? You got a lot of countries, even countries that you look at and say, wow, they play baseball? So it's a real-world tournament. This isn't. This is a fictitious, let's pick four countries and throw them in there. And granted, those four countries have produced some wonderful NHL players, the full story.
It just got put together so quickly. So how you couldn't do it. It had to be teams that were, I don't know, available and willing.
But that's a part of why I get it's exciting and fun. I've already told you I like it. We're going to watch it and all that. But it's not a real tournament. It's not as good as the WBC. I'm sorry. Like, WBC is an attempt at a real tournament. Now, most people don't love it because they think they're worried about injuries and spring training.
Yeah.
And I would assume there are some hockey fans that are worried about their players getting injured.
Right.
Like, we're in the middle of a hockey season.
We need JT Miller fighting.
So this is teams from U.S., Canada, Sweden, and Finland.
Yes.
But they're all NHL players.
All of these players are NHL players.
So, part of the reason you didn't have other countries is it probably just aren't enough to field a team.
The WBC has it. The WBC has teams from all over.
I understand that, but this is all NHL players.
I got you.
So it's not like there's an amateur player or someone
highlighting the NHL guy.
Right. This isn't some Canadian, I don't know, league player on Team Canada.
It's all
NHL players.
No, I got you.
And so you probably couldn't field teams from a lot of other countries.
Russia, you could have, but once you start getting to the Czech Republic, Slovakia, that's when you would have had to pull from like the KHL.
I get why they're doing it. I'm saying it's not a real, it's just not. It's four countries that have hockey players.
Yes, they're predominantly in the NHL.
Yes, NHL.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I get it. I don't think you could do any other countries. You're not going to have a French team.
Well, they do in baseball, though, with the World Baseball Classic.
There's not enough French hockey players.
Have you seen some of the teams they have in the WBC?
No. You're missing what I'm saying. There's not enough French NHL hockey players.
That's because you're saying it has to be NHL. It doesn't have to be NHL.
But this is what this was. That's why it was done this way.
No, I get why they do.
Yeah, that's why your Olympics exist, because you could do that. But this is supposed to be an NHL thing.
NHL replacement to their All-Star game.
But that's what makes it like not a real tournament.
Oh, of course.
That's all I'm saying.
It's an NHL tournament that happens to feature four countries.
Yes.
And it's the nationalities of some of their players.
And I admit it's working. Like, I'm interested in it. I think you've been convinced, Sean, now to be interested in it.
I wouldn't say I'm interested in it, but...
Are you going to watch Thursday?
I'm going to watch Thursday, but I would rather be watching a Ranger game Thursday.
I get you. I understand.
That's all I'm saying. And for a lot of those reasons. I just think it's a fake tournament. Also, hockey doesn't need to get me with this. I will watch a random Western Conference game.
Right. And by the way, this is all because there's not a lot going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, my viewership, sports viewership this weekend was so random. Like, completely random. So, obviously, I watched Liverpool. They won.
Did you watch the three-point shootout? I have to wear the L for an hour today.
I did watch the three-point shootout.
Yeah, Cam Johnson embarrassed himself.
Right? I ended up watching the slam dunk competition for the first time in years.
And you got to admit, Mac McClung did some crazy dunks.
Absolutely.
He really did.
He actually jumped over a real car.
I watched hockey. I watched the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
I watched a ton of sports unrelated to what I don't do. I watched up on the WBO fight. Do you see this? The Keyshawn Davis thing?
No.
Where the Ukrainian opponent for the WBO lightweight title, sent him a box of bananas and watermelon.
Oh, God.
And before the fight, he got in his face, and he's like, I'm going to kick your bleeping ass. Mm. I don't care that you won a silver medal. I don't care that you did bare knuckles. I don't blah, 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 blah. When we fight, I am going to kick your bleeping ass. And then he knocked him out. And he won a WBO lightweight championship.
Oh, my God. You're on everything,
Keyshawn,
man.
Dave. It was awesome, dude.
He's watching boxing, soccer, hockey, NASCAR. He completed the bingo.
I did.
That's damn impressive.
Mark it off on your card.
Let's go to Jim in Delaware. How are you, Jim?
Hey, how you doing? It's an honor to talk to you, Evan and Tiki.
What's up, man?
Sean? Not so much. Hey.
What's up?
Hey, Evan, you're making my argument of why the WBC is not a real tournament.
Go ahead.
The USA and Canada, their players are actually from USA and Canada.
That's a DJ.
All right?
Yeah.
WBC, why we got teams all around the world is because you got Major League U.S.-born, for example, baseball players who aren't good enough to make the U.S. team. But they got a great-great-great-great-grandfather that might have been from Israel, so somehow they qualify to play for the Israel team.
That's so true.
And that's why I can't get into it.
Well, okay,
that's
so
why
you,
I can't get into
you,
it.
You are right. I do agree with that. Like, I think some of the team, like the Italian team, Team Italy, like, if it's just somebody who's Italian, it feels like a little bit of a stretch. But it was a Great Britain team. And no one thinks of baseball in Great Britain. There was an Australian team. There was a Czech Republic team. There's a South Korean team. There's a China team. There's a Nicaragua team. There's a Panama team. And the vast majority of the rosters are genuinely guys from there.
Right.
So you're right. You brought up some examples, but it's a real tournament. And eventually, like 10, 20 years from now, it's going to be a tournament with a long history. It already kind of has a long history because it began in 2006. I think if they do the Four Nations, and are they planning, Sean, on doing it every year to replace the All-Star Game, or every 3 years or every 4 years?
I think this was a test parachute that they will do probably in non-Olympic years.
Okay, so it'll probably be every couple of years. As it develops a history, I think it's only going to get bigger and stronger. I think anything in sports needs its starting point.
Right, so non-Olympic years, you mean... So 3 years they'll do this, and then Olympic years they'll have the guys will go to the Olympics. That's what you're alluding to.
Well, Sean is being distracted by Paul Rosenberg, who is not working on this show
right now. But he's
so giving something to add.
He's giving
it instead of distracting Sean.
Have your moment, Paulie. You say
he was adding to it as far as a hockey standpoint. Here you go.
Yeah. So every 2 years after next year's Winter Olympics, there will be a World Cup of hockey. So every 2 years,
so
the
not
NHL
this
will
something different.
Play. I can't hear what he's saying.
Yeah, put the freaking headphones.
Do you work in engineering or not?
So it's not the Four Nations Face-Off? It's a different kind of tournament?
It's going to be called the World Cup of Hockey.
So they'll have more teams involved, probably?
That's the insinuation.
Okay. Yes. By the way, I think that's a lot better. Because then it's a real tournament. This is just four teams, four countries. You know what I mean?
And so will there be an All-Star game every in-between year? Right?
That I don't know, honestly.
World Cup of Hockey, All-Star game, Olympics... All-Star game, World Cup of Hockey. Is that what we're doing?
Probably.
So it's an All-Star game every 2 years?
You know what they just need to do? And this is like basically in all sports. The All-Star game is just done. It was a thing. It was fad.
It's past its usefulness.
Yeah, like I watched a little bit of the NBA All-Star game last night. And besides that, my favorite part was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander being disgusted by Kevin Hart. Like, so Kevin Hart was doing stand-up in the middle of the game. They would stop the game and do bits, right? Yeah. So Kevin Hart's doing stand-up.
That's just ridiculous.
And SGA starts hand-signaling, can we move it along?
Yeah.
And I'm like, SGA is all of us right now. I love Kevin Hart. I think he's hilarious. But what are we doing?
That makes no sense.
What are we doing? So just get rid of it all together. They should really get rid of the three-point contest. What a waste of time that was.
It's because Cam stunk.
Hey, by the way, can you give me the L because I owe it to Tommy?
Yeah, sure.
So we agreed on Friday, since Cam Johnson and Jalen Brunson are both in the competition, that the loser, like the guy who did worse, would have to wear the L of their favorite team. So Cam Johnson made 14 threes, got knocked out in the first round. Jalen made 18 threes, got knocked out in the first round. So it's not like either did well, but I raised my hand. Let me teach Sean how this works.
Well,
I lost. Yeah. So because I lost, I'm going to put an L around my neck.
I don't think so.
Why?
Not today, you're not.
Our producer is saying you're not allowed to wear the L today.
No.
Why?
We're not on TV. So this is as usual. Evan trying to hoodwink everybody here.
Oh,
trying to pull a fast one with
a
half
tomorrow.
A smirk.
Right. I'll wear it for 2 hours for all
two
I care.
2 hours on TV tomorrow.
Also, speaking of L's, it is 4:20 p.m. Eastern.
Yes.
Evan.
Yes.
Where's all your presidential issue? We're supposed to break one out, one an hour.
Oh, you want one right now?
No. Well, if Tommy's ready, do we have production? Did you actually prepare them? Did you do the work we asked you to do this weekend?
I have it right here. Let's start off with...
By the way, the Yankee L is almost done.
Ooh.
Nice. A
is
Yankee.
Pinstriped?
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
That's nice.
That is nice. My Cinco de Presidente, the five elections I wish I could have voted in.
All right.
As requested by our audience. Are you ready?
Here we go!
Number five.
I kind of had to agree with our caller. Our caller brought up the 1960 election. He put it number one for him. I put it up there, too. JFK against Richard Nixon. The sitting vice president against John F. Kennedy. Like, the futures of America going at it. It was an incredibly close election. The legend, of course, of that election is that if you listen to the first ever presidential debate, or the first real presidential debate on the radio, you think Nixon won. If you watched it on TV, you thought Kennedy won. So I'd love to go back into a time machine and vote in Nixon versus Kennedy 1960.
Love it.
Number four.
Kennedy won, by the way.
Kennedy won.
303 to 219.
It was a lot closer than that, though. Trust me. And Chicago. I would tell you that you will hear people say they did it in 2024, they'll do it in 2020. They'll tell you this is the most important election of your lifetime. And they're maybe right, but I will tell you the most important election in American history. And that, to me, was the election of 1864. Abraham Lincoln was the sitting president. The Confederacy had already broken off, and that election was all about continuing the war effort. And George McClellan was running against him. And everything's different if Lincoln loses. I can't be any more blunt than that. Like, the war was going to stop. I don't know what ends up happening with the Confederacy and the future of our country. Re-electing Abraham Lincoln, even if he only served for a brief amount of time, is something I'd go back into a time machine and make sure I was on the right side of history for. So number four, Lincoln versus McClellan.
Number three.
1880, my boy James Garfield, what up? Now, I got nothing against Winfield Scott Hancock, but this was about voting for James Garfield. He was going to make major change. And I really believe if Garfield didn't die at such an early age, James Geektow shooting him up in the train depot, I think James Garfield would have been one of the best non-wartime presidents we ever had. So to go back to 1880 and vote in the Garfield-Winfield-Scott-Hancock election, that'd be something.
Yes. He was assassinated?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Republican Garfield won 214 to 155.
And right. And think about the way he won the nomination. It was an open convention. He was the dark horse candidate. I'd go back to 1880. That's my number three.
Number two.
The triple threat match. Who wouldn't want to vote in the 1912 sitting President William Howard Taft, former President Teddy Roosevelt, and Woodrow Wilson? This was when Teddy came back and said, hey, fatty, what are you doing? You're running this country into the ground? You're not continuing my policies. I'm challenging you for the Republican nomination. Unfortunately for Teddy, he lost. He lost.
He got destroyed.
Well, no, this is the Republican nomination.
Oh, nomination.
Then he said, screw it. I'm going to start my own party, the Bull Moose Party. And by the way, Roosevelt got shot while making a speech. And he's like, got to hurt a bull moose with more than that. And he stayed. He finished. Unfortunately, he lost. So I'd go back to 1912 so I could vote in Woodrow versus Teddy versus William Howard Taft.
Right. Woodrow Wilson won this presidential election. 435 electoral votes to 88 for Theodore Roosevelt. Whoa. 8 for William Taft.
That's because Roosevelt split the ticket with Taft. They basically...
It wouldn't have mattered. Excuse they would me? Have lost 435 to 96.
Whatever. You ready for number one?
Let's go.
Number one.
I'm doing it. I'm picking a modern election.
Go ahead.
On a modern election I didn't get to vote in because I just missed it. 2000. I mean, to me, that was history. And sitting there watching the election returns that night, Al Gore against George W. Bush, of course.
Strategery.
Watching the returns come in. That's what got me into politics. That's what got me into this bad boy. Mm-hmm. And all I could think about that night was, I wish I voted. I wish I voted. I wish I was a part of this beautiful thing known as American democracy. So I'll tell you right now, give me 2000. That's the number one election I wish I voted in. And half the people listening got to vote in it. So, you know, good for
yes.
you.
Cody, hey, who would you have voted for? This is one of the closest elections in U.S. history.
Who
George Bush won 271 to 266.
Can't think about how close that is.
5 electoral votes.
Who'd you vote for before I tell you who I would have voted for?
Until President Trump the first time, I never voted unsuccessfully for a president of the United States.
So you voted for George W. Bush?
I did.
Yeah, I think I would have voted for W. Bush. I think I was done with the Clinton regime. So but I don't know, honestly, because I wasn't paying attention to it in that kind of way prior to the election. It's that election that got me into it. Yeah. So I think I'm talking more hypothetically than reality.
I think you also would have leaned into the George W. Bush baseball part of it. Oh, he likes baseball. I'm going to vote for the baseball.
You think now. I'm a simpleton like that?
Come on.
Do you know who Al Gore beat in the Democratic primary?
Yes.
Do you? Because he's pretty freaking important in sports and in New York.
Bob Dole.
Bob Dole. Wait, in the Democratic primary?
Oh, Democratic primary.
This guy thinks he's beating me in a trivia contest in 2 days. Is this guy nuts? He just said Bob Dole?
Bob Dole ran in an election back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, he did. 1996 is the Republican.
Oh,
not
gotcha.
The Democratic primary
gotcha.
4 years later. Tommy, who ran against Al Gore in the Democratic primary in 2000 since Sean brought up sports?
Bill Bradley.
The great Bill Bradley.
How about that?
Dollar bill, y'all. Now, the question would have been, if I was a registered Democrat, would have I used my anti-Nick bias?
Wow. Probably. Yeah, I think you would have.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You played for the Knicks? Screw you, Bill. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what I would have done.
You know what's interesting about that primary push by U.S. Senator at the time, Bill Bradley?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan campaigned for him.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. So Michael did get involved in politics.
Yeah. Which he swore he never would.
Now Bill Bradley's the exception.
Wow. So Michael helped push another Knicks loss.
I kind of like it. Kendrick's in Suffern. What's up, Kendrick?
That's cold-blooded.
Hey, guys. Evan, you know, you just got a little patriotic with the voting and stuff like that. So a few points here.
Yeah.
One, I'm with you completely. I don't think we should boo the Canadians. We're better than that. But I would suggest maybe getting Fergie to sing their national anthem.
That's a good idea.
And on President's Day, I do want to address this, that elections and voting, they do have consequences. So you can't tell me it's a coincidence that the year the Knicks got 2 guys into the All-Star game, the whole weekend went to trash, and that MSG, while they're out of town, was filled with hometown fans, Rudy on the Johnnies. So it's weird how the Knicks fans get priced out, but the Johnnies can fill the garden. But I do want to get to another thing here, an idea I had listening to you and Marash last week talking about your Jeopardy challenge. What about L in the cell, the brain cell challenge? And speaking of brain cell challenge, I saw Pumpkin Pete was back in Orange today, and I'm thinking that Main Event Yeet will be back to his early career production now that the Barnacle polar bear issue has been resolved. And so, you know, I just think right now as a Met fan, bringing it back to sports here with Montas injuries going down. I was looking at the schedule. This is a Rico call a little bit now. You know, if you pitch Senga, in the fourth game, it kind of lines up as if with the rest days he's on a six man rotation.
Yeah, so
I don't want to get
over. You're right. They can actually
with this.
You're right. They can. Kendrick, we got to go, but we appreciate the call. You're right. The Mets could finagle the Senga rest and not need a sixth man, but they have a lot of depth, and Paul Blackburn's on this roster. So I think Paul Blackburn becomes the fifth man, if you will, and I think Tyler McGill and Griffin Canning. Griffin Canning's got a major league contract, so he's going to be on the roster. I think he certainly has an opportunity. Now, by the way, I'm holding in my hand a buzzer because Kendrick was referring to this trivia contest that will occur on Wednesday, and it will, barring any kind of big breaking sports news. 4:25 on Wednesday, Tiki Barber will prepare trivia questions about everything, things in the world, four topics, three questions for each topic, and Sean and I will face each other. If I win, Sean has to maintain wearing that L until his penalty is over, which is in another week and a half, 2 weeks, I think. Rest of the month, so whenever that ends.
Into the first week of March.
But if he wins, not only does he get the pride of beating me, the L gets removed immediately. So obviously Tiki's already preparing the questions. We're very excited. And I have brought in buzzers. Now, what's cool about these buzzers is that you can record the buzzer to make any sound you want. So right now I'm holding a yellow buzzer, and I'm going to press it. And this is my sound as of right now, so that when a question is asked, the buzzer, of course, determines who gets to answer the question first. Here's my sound. That's me screaming.
I like
that again. So, like, if we're, what's the capital of Alaska? That's my buzzer. Sean, you have a buzzer. Have you made a sound yet?
Yeah. Here we go. Ready?
Ron Dane was better.
Did you say Ron Dane was better?
Ron Dane was better?
Oh, I thought that was Ron. I thought that was Ron Day.
Well, Tiki already knew that.
Ron Dane was better.
So is that going to be your official sound effect for our trivia contest, or are you going to play around with it?
I'm going to play around with it.
Tommy, do you like this?
Now I realize I shouldn't be taking shots at the guy coming up with the question.
You did to me. That's a good point. Tommy, do you like my sound?
No.
What do you want to
bet? I don't like it at all. First of all, it doesn't sound anything like you.
Well, it's just supposed to be a sound so that you know I buzzed in first.
I think it's you should trash talk Sean in your sound effect.
All right.
Much
so
like
on.
Sean just trash talked to you.
Let me do this right now. Sean is fat. Now, let's see how it sounds.
Sean is fat.
Better.
Sean is fat. Sean is fat.
You want me to do that?
I love it.
He's fat!
Sean is fat.
Okay. Yeah, we'll play around with this, but Wednesday at 4:25, we'll have a trivia contest, and I like his name, LNSL. LNSL's pretty good.
That is a good one, actually.
It's not too bad. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll mix in your calls at 888-808-1019, and I'm curious to get Tiki's opinion on this subject.
Now that one I like.
I'm curious to get Tiki's opinion on Francisco Lindor as the captain. Francisco was asked about it over the weekend. A lot of Met fans are pushing it. Is that something that's very important for the Mets to do? And while talking about that, we will go into the WFAN archives, the brand new segment we like to call WFAN Flashback. It's all coming up live. Happy President's Day to you. Also, happy A-Rod Day. A-Rod Day is celebrated on February 16th. Today's the 17th, but because it was a Sunday, the federal holiday also recognizes Alex Rodriguez. This is the first annual A-Rod Day, a day created by the brain of Sean Marash 1 year ago. So just want to wish you a very happy A-Rod Day.
You got a chant for that, Sean?
A chant for A-Rod Day?
Yeah, isn't there an A-Rod Day chant?
We wish you a merry A-Rod Day. We wish you a merry A-Rod Day. We wish you a merry A-Rod Day and a happy Stanton injury.
Now, one thing Alex never was he was never a captain. The captain of the Yankees was Derek Jeter. There's been a lot of talk over the last couple of days and weeks from Met fans, and we heard it over the weekend from the New York Met media asking Lindor about it, about naming Francisco Lindor captain of the New York Mets. For context, the Mets have had four captains in their history, Keith Hernandez, Gary Carter. They shared that nod for a brief amount of time. John Franco got it after in 2001, and David Wright was a captain. So they've had four captains. Is it important to name Francisco Lindor the captain of the team?
In baseball, absolutely.
Really?
In football, it didn't matter because it's just kind of the guy who's going to be the best contributor or best leader on a team that year. It gets voted on every year. It's like, what does it even mean, really?
Right, right.
In football.
And you have to have one.
And you have to have it.
In baseball, you don't have to.
Right. Somebody has to technically interact with the referee, even though it's usually the head coach. So it doesn't really matter, except for going out for the coin toss and, I don't know, maybe looking pretty in print. Who knows? It doesn't really mean anything in the NFL other than your peers want you to be the leader of the team. But you're already that anyway, so it doesn't matter. Baseball, it's different because it's more like an honor. It's more like I mean, literally, a badge that you wear that says you are the face, you are the epitome, you are the example that this organization wants every other player to follow to be great.
I just don't think... See, I think Lindor is clearly the leader of this team. I think that was shown last year.
I agree.
I think it's been shown with a lot of the things he even said during the offseason. He made the case for bringing Pete Alonso back. I don't think there's any doubt. And even to the way the Mets reacted when they won that division series game four at Citi against the Phillies, Lugny and I were there, and I noticed this, not initially, I noticed it when I watched the replay. When the Mets were celebrating, they all went to Lindor.
Mm-hmm.
They surrounded him. So clearly he has become the unquestioned leader and captain of the team. So I don't think naming him captain or putting a C on his jersey changes anything.
Yeah.
And Lindor was asked about it over the weekend, and there were two things I got out of it. Number one, it would be an honor to him. He made that absolutely clear, but he also said nothing's going to change, whether I'm the captain or the not or not. So,
well, what was the conversation around David Wright when he was named captain?
I think
because
a lot of it.
Was he also the leader?
He was. So trying to remember back, and I guess it shows you how little I care about being named team captain. I don't remember much about it other than he signed his contract. And I think it was kind of like Aaron Judge in relation to the fact that he signed this long contract and he's going to retire a Met, or in Judge's case, retire a Yankee. So it was a part of, hey, he's going to be here long term. Let's put the C on his chest.
Right. And Francisco Lindor is actually already that.
He's already the captain.
Well, I mean, he's going to be here for a long time. I mean.
Right. He's already got the long contract. Right. I'm not going to be against it. Like, if the Mets had a press conference tomorrow and said, all right, Lindor's the captain like the Knicks did with Jalen Brunson, I'd be like, cool. It just wouldn't faze me.
And there can only be one?
Well, that's a great question. So in 87, the Mets named Keith Hernandez captain. And then I think Gary Carter was very jealous of it. And a year later, they named Gary Carter the co-captain. So, no, you can actually have two captains.
I asked that, obviously, for the obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of Juan Soto.
Well, Juan Soto, I listened to what he had to say yesterday, and Juan Soto was asked about his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
He basically said, everybody leads differently, and he's the kind of guy where people will follow his example.
I just come to work.
I come to work, and I kick ass, and I work harder than everybody else. And that's the example I'm setting.
Yeah, but that's not what Francisco Lindor does. Francisco Lindor does that as well, but he's there every day.
You're right.
Talking. I mean, he's in front of the media every day. Something happens, good happens, he's there. Something bad happens, he's there.
It got me thinking, though, because I think he already is the captain. I think if they name him captain, it's not a big deal. It started making me think, like, why do I feel this way? And I have to admit, we're influenced by the people around us, and we're influenced by the people we grew up listening to.
Okay.
And so I think it's time for another WFAN flashback.
Oh, God.
Because I remember the great Christopher Mad Dog Russo freaking out over Derek Jeter being named captain. And the context of it was the Yankees were calling a major press conference. And the major press conference in the middle of this season was to announce that Derek Jeter was captain. And Christopher Mad Dog Russo, along with Mike, who you will hear a little bit in this clip, was kind of like, this is a big deal? And I think that's kind of impacted my view on captainships in Major League Baseball. So we present to you another WFAN flashback. We send you back to 2003, when Christopher Mad Dog Russo was not excited about Derek Jeter being named Yankees captain. WFAN
flashback! The Yankees got a... take a chill pill. I mean, nobody cares.
It's not a major press conference.
Nobody, and even 90% of 50% of the folks I've talked to as Yankee fans could care less who the Yankee captain is. To sit there and to call that a major news conference is really an incredibly misleading job. Nobody, I don't even know who the captains are of these teams. It doesn't mean anything who's the silly captain of the Yankees. It means nothing whatsoever. It's meant, did it mean anything in the last 5 years when they won 4 championships or 6 years when they lost 4 championships? It meant nothing. Did it mean anything in the late 60s when they didn't have a captain and they were terrible? It meant nothing. For the Yankees.
Well, they didn't have a captain from Gerrit de Munson.
Right. That's what I mean. They didn't have a captain and they were bad. They didn't have a captain this last 5 years and they won four championships.
DiMaggio and Mantle were never captains.
I mean, this is a bunch of garbage. Who cares? It's the Yankees making it sound like that the whole world revolves around the Yankees. First off, did the Angels have a captain last year when they thumped the Yankees all over the ballpark?
Well,
they did not.
Captain doesn't have
means nothing, but the Yankees called it a major news conference.
Yeah, they're wrong.
Terrible.
They're wrong. I mean, it's
ridiculous.
The Yankee captainship has always been symbolic to the Yankees and to
the Yankees.
Fans.
Nobody else cares. No. Some fans.
Well, I think it's symbolic, is what it is. See, I think Jeter's been a captain anyway, so I don't think it makes you. Know,
that's not, one, but
now
I don't
he's
think
official.
Even
but you're doing everybody a disservice by calling it a major press conference. Everybody thinks the Yankees made a trade or somebody got fired. I mean, that's
absurd.
A major news conference.
Absurd. Absolutely
naming the
ridiculous.
Captain is not a major deal.
I mean, it's arrogance. I mean, the way that the world, nobody cares. There's a lot of people who care less about the Yankees. Plus, there's a lot of Yankee fans. My father, I talked to, who cares? He don't care. He wants to win. He don't care who the captain is. Mark Malone could care less. Nobody cares who these captains are. It's a bunch of
stuff.
You
don't care who the captain is, Malone?
No, as long as they win, I could care less.
Yeah, well,
care less.
How about Moose? Moose getting some love. So, I kind of agree. Like, he's already the captain. Who cares? So, apparently on this day in 2003, the Yankees were upset with Dahl. Because they're like, why are you killing us? We never said it was a major press conference.
Yeah. Well, who said it was a major press conference?
Apparently the Yankees did. Because here's Chris a little bit later on in the program getting even angrier at the New York Yankees for calling it a major press conference and yelling at him for saying so.
WFAN Radio 66, WFAN.
Hey, it's time to pound the Yankees. They called and raised all sorts of cane with me a little while ago. Tell Russo we didn't say it's a major announcement. Don't blame it on us. All right, I come back, in my goodness of my heart, to give the Yankees a little bone and say, yeah, you're probably right. I'm making too big a deal. Maybe I'm wrong. And then I go sit there and watch this in Cincinnati, and it's an absolute disgrace. Cashman's there. The Yankee banner is there. The podium is up. They say this is the greatest day in Yankee history. And the Yankees called me up an hour ago and said, Chris, please calm down. We didn't make a big deal about this. Okay, fine, I'll shut up. And then I put it on TV, and I got a major press conference for something that some Yankee fans could care less about whether Jeter's on the Yankee team captain. Oh, that's a bunch of good. That's why people. This is why people hate the Yankees. They're the only team in the history of the world that thinks I got to have a press conference, a carving board deal to announce a captain. Who cares? Nobody cares. It's a joke. And then the Yankees called up and complained about me. Tell Russo not to say anything because we didn't quote unquote call it major. Fine, I pipe down. Maybe I'm wrong. All right, you know what? Maybe the media made fine. Ship cut. Then I go put it. Then they got in the newsroom. They said, Doggy, you got to go kill him. Look at this. I go, Andy Scazzeri. They go, can't beg urging me on to go in there and destroy him. And I have to. It's a joke. I don't want to see this. God, it's a disgrace. That's why I hate the Yankees. I mean, gee whiz.
Wow. So I think that's why I don't really care if Lindor's captain. I think Dog influenced me. I really do.
And here's the good litmus test.
Yes.
How many of us Yankee fans cared when Aaron Judge was named captain? We didn't.
You know what the difference was? You signed him. And that was like a part of the...
Yeah, for the press conference point of view.
Right, the remarriage.
Well, it was also coming off like this epic, historic season.
Right.
As well. So it felt like a reward in a sense.
But also
right,
felt
he was
like
rewarded financially, obviously.
Right.
But it also felt like a reward for doing something supremely iconic in the history, not only of baseball, but of the Yankees. That's what that felt like with Judge. So it did. Right. I think it did mean something that Aaron Judge got named captain immediately after that season, especially given the stakes of his free agency that whole year.
Yeah, I think it probably meant something in the clubhouse, and probably it did a little bit Jeter to officially put him on there. I'm just talking about from like a fan's point of view. Yes, we were excited Judge was back, and him being named captain from a fan's point of view was just a formality or whatever, but nobody was really fired up like, yes, we have a real captain.
Now, I don't remember this with Jeter. Were the Yankee fans excited?
No. I
and,
trust Dog.
And honestly,
nobody cares.
Right.
I mean, nobody cares.
But it almost feels more like this Lindor situation. It's kind of obvious.
Yes.
Jeter was the guy.
Right.
It's just like it's kind of obvious. Lindor is the guy. So just have him come out on opening day and he's got a C on his shirt. Who cares?
But that's the thing. Usually, unless there's some teams in the past that put the C on the shirt, you're not putting a C on a Yankee
shirt.
Well,
the Mets have. John Franco had that giant C
ridiculous.
On his jersey.
Hockey, you see it. Football, the guys go out for the coin toss. I mean, unless the captain is going out to exchange lineup cards before every game.
In English Premier League, they wear a band.
Okay, yeah.
And you ask Jalen Brunson, who had a press conference. It was during the offseason, so it felt like, whatever, no big deal. But I think that was also in conjunction with him signing that new contract? Because remember, Jalen signed that new very team-friendly contract?
Right. Yeah.
So I think it was similar in terms of he just signed a new contract like David and like Aaron Judge. Jeter was, I mean, think about it. You're in the middle of 2003. What's causing you to name him captain? Like, they had a dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty damn good. He's already clearly one of the best players or one of the future Hall of Famers. Like, what was the point? And I almost look at Lindor in the same way. Now, he hasn't accomplished as much in terms of winning as Derek, but he's already the captain. Like, what is that going to do? It's not going to do anything. Yeah. I'm not against it.
Well, he didn't make a big deal about it.
What was that?
Lindor.
No, Lindor was very humble about it when he was asked. Just, right. Yeah, I'd be really honored, but it wouldn't change what I do, which is the reality. And it's kind of what Dog and Mike were talking about 20-plus years ago. It wasn't going to change anything about Derek Jeter. And same thing with Francisco. Like, he's going to be the great captain leader of this team, no matter calling him captain or not.
Yeah, with Jeter, there was no debate. With JB, there was no debate. I guess there's a little debate with Lindor, even though
how? With who?
Soto. I mean, when
no.
he was...
No, he's gotten done but, it yet.
No.
And Soto's never going to be that guy.
But, Teak, in the world of sports talk radio, if I may, there will be people and there will be, you know, when you set an angle where you go, well, Soto really? Is it Alonso? Should it be Lindor? There are at least other candidates.
No, and I'll tell you why I disagree. The captain isn't who's the best player. Like, I'll give you a great example why it's not an issue. I'm going to use your team as an example. Right now, when you look at the MVP ladder on NBA.com, Karl Anthony Towns is ahead of Jalen Brunson.
Right.
There's no controversy that Cat should be the leader, even if he statistically is having a better year. So I think it's about being there. I think it's about your vocal kind of leadership, which Lindor clearly has. I mean, Juan Soto, you guys watched him for a year. He's a tremendous player. He's not the leader. He wasn't the leader of the Yankees.
No.
That's not who he is.
The MVP was the leader of the Yankees.
Right. That's not his personality. So even if Soto's better, which remember when Tiki and I, he got me into that argument about who's better? Soto's better.
You start marginalizing Francisco Lindor.
I'm not. I'm merely saying even if Soto is better, which he is, I don't think that creates a captain controversy. It only happened with the Mets in the late 80s because Gary Carter and Keith Hernandez, very different personalities, by the way. I mean, Keith's going out having a good time. Right. Gary's a religious dude. Like, they couldn't be any more different. I think there was almost like a battle on who really ran that locker room. There's no battle here.
Yeah. By the way, what Evan was referring to, the MVP tracker. This is on Basketball Reference.
Yeah.
Karl Anthony Towns is third.
Yeah.
And Jalen Brunson is 10th.
See what I'm saying? But there's no controversy that Cat should be the captain. So I don't think being better necessarily changes that.
Yeah, and I think that too with like, and I'll ask Sean this so it doesn't look like I'm trolling anybody here. Do you really think Aaron Judge should be the captain of the Yankees? Only because he's already got the pressure. He's the best player. Is he the right guy that you would think of the Yankee captain? Because through the years, it wasn't always the best player that was the captain.
But so, I think for the Yankees, Aaron Judge is the leader. Like he's the one that's dictating direction.
And it's not even a question.
And I've learned the lesson cross-pollinating other sports. Jacob Trouba, Daniel Jones. Sometimes when a guy isn't the best player and he's the captain, and then you need to move on from the player, it causes a major issue.
Well, I'll tell you this about Judge.
There's a void that's created.
Yep.
The difference with Judge is that if you remember back to him signing that contract and being named captain, and then the Yankees having an incredibly disappointing year. Do you remember what happened at the end of that year? We were making a big deal of it. Judge was very vocal about what he wanted changed.
Yeah.
And we were both saying, okay, Aaron Judge is telling it like it is. It's almost like the captainship emboldened him to say, hey, I'm a partner here. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel. Lindor's already doing that. If Lindor has called up Cohen and David Stearns and said, I want Pete back, which apparently happened, and vocally he's saying I wanted Pete back, which he did, then I don't think he needs a captainship to necessarily change his personality. It does feel like Judge signing long-term, maybe that's more than the captainship, along with the captainship, changed him because he became a more outspoken, vocal guy.
We'll see how Mets' attendance is. You might get a midweek game in August. We have a big pregame ceremony to make Lindor the captain. Something
I see
like
what
that.
You
get
did there.
The
I see what you did there.
And I don't want that, by the way.
What do you mean, like mid-July?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, you don't need it mid-July. You should draw very well in mid-July. It's more like a mid-April
thing. Like the 19th or something?
Yeah, July 9th. That sounds right.
Yeah.
Well, that's because they're honoring David Wright.
Oh, are
you saying that was a stunt? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you might need something else. They don't do well with jersey retirements, the Mets, you know, as far as filling out the crowd. They might need something else.
Why are we getting shrapnel from both of you guys?
We're not. What's just this about?
And I tried to be classy with Judge. I didn't want to say he has too much on his plate. That's why he doesn't in October. So maybe you should take the C off of his chest. I didn't say that. I wouldn't say that. But then you're going to take shots at Doc and Darryl.
Well, Tiki did it too, by the way. So you got to go with Doc as well.
And by the way.
No, how about that? I'm going to stop you right now. I did not take shots at Doc and Darryl. Those are two lifelong legendary Yankees. I would never do that.
No, you did that. And Evan, I think, eloquently laid out why David Wright will be an absolute sellout when his number is retired.
Yeah, it's about generations.
Thank you.
But I will say, if the Mets are going to name Lindor captain, if that's truly what they want to do, I would do it right now. You don't do that kind of stuff in the middle of a season. The Yankees doing that with Jeter made no sense. That's why Dog was so pissed off about it. It's like, what are we doing in the middle of the season?
It doesn't matter.
Right.
In the middle of the season. So if you're calling a major press conference, it's because you're making an acquisition of some sort.
Absolutely. Quick break. We'll come back with your call. Sean has a Cinco de Fivo list. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. And while I still have questions about Aaron Rodgers, I thought I was going to have, like, the ability to move on from the decision, but I still have some kind of feelings that I need to get off my chest concerning Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. We address that. Your phone calls, 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.